Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to part two of the South Florida Recap edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Prevailing wisdom across all the interwebs, those who are paid to instruct us, is that the Alabama defense was outstanding on Saturday. And, well, I find that mostly to be true. I didn't originally expect to agree with that conclusion, but the more I looked at the numbers, the more obvious it became that the Alabama defense looked really, really good. Room for improvement. We're going to talk about that. But here are some of the stats that I found to be relatively impressive. 300 total yards of offense allowed. Okay, that could be a smaller number. 16 points. All right, that worked out. Three field goals were scored, and each of those could have been touchdowns. Oh, what does that mean? The three possessions on which the three field goals were scored averaged 10 plays. One was 8, one was 9. And then what would that be, a 13-play drive? Do the math. I did. They averaged 10 plays across those possessions. That means South Florida was moving the ball. They averaged 60 yards across those possessions. So they averaged 10 plays, 60 yards. They were averaging 6 yards a clip. You talk about moving the ball down the field, having success, sustaining a drive. All three of those field goal drives were in that category. Any of those three or all of those three could have netted in touchdowns. The fact that none of them netted in touchdowns, that's impressive. That is impressive. Here's some additional stats that I found impressive for the Alabama defense. Alabama held South Florida to 2 of 18 on third down attempts. That's impressive. 2 of 18 on third down attempts. 0 for 4 on fourth down attempts. So no fourth down conversions there. Only allowed 103 passing yards. Hey, that starts to look pretty good. Had 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, and 6 pass breakups. So those are all nice stats. Now, here's a good one. I had to check my numbers on this 3 times. I went to, there's not an article that mentions this. There was nothing that I saw anywhere, no stat line, no summary of the game that spoke to this. Where I saw it is ESPN, where they do a play-by-play, and you can go look at every drive and every play in that drive. And so I sussed out looking at the data there. Again, if you don't believe me, check it out. I had to check it at least twice. Alabama forced 7 3-and-outs. That's amazing. 7 3-and-outs. They, in addition to the 7, there was 1 4-and-out. So what does that mean? The first down on first down, and then a 3-and-out. There was a 6-and-out, but then you start putting together a drive when you're at 6th place. So I didn't count beyond the 4. But 7 3-and-outs and 1 4-and-out. That's pretty dang impressive. So kudos to the Alabama defense in that regard. A couple of things that could clean up. There were 206 rushing yards allowed, 108 rushing yards from the quarterback. And so the quarterback averaged almost 5. It was 4.7. He had a long of 20. And he was sacked the four times. And so the 108 in terms of positive yards gained running is actually a bigger number than that if you take out for the sacks. I know they net him. I'm just saying there were four plays that were negative. Of his rushing plays, he did gain more than 108. However, so a strong running performance by the quarterback. I will say, though, however, an atrocious outing from a passing perspective for the South Florida quarterback. I'm specifically not going to name names. I'm just going to say he had a subpar day throwing the ball. There were multiple touchdowns left on the field if he had been just a little bit more accurate with his passing. Watched a lot of football, college football on Saturday, and I was fully poised to say that the worst quarterback play of the day was going to be the Michigan quarterback. And that was until South Florida. He was really good running the ball, and in a phone booth, he was very elusive. And the defensive line had a tough time bringing him down at times. Again, 108 yards, and then plus whatever he lost on passing downs for sacks. But just had a struggle fest tossing the ball around the yard. So in terms of the Alabama defense, it's similar to the offensive line, although defense played better than Alabama's offensive line. There's a lot to build on, and so that's interesting. Overall, Alabama did play a lot of defenders, but not as many as they did against Western Kentucky last week, which in a 63-0 game, you would expect that to be true. What's interesting is the commitment to the player rotation that we're seeing by this staff for this team. It was a one-score game until very, very late in the game. It was a one-point game until well into the fourth quarter, and Alabama continued to rotate youngsters into the game. That game wasn't over until under 2.5 minutes to go. Alabama rattled off three scores, holy moly, 21 points in 2.5 minutes. That's nearly unheard of. The game wasn't over until there was no time left on the clock. It wasn't a blowout until literally it was over. It was a game in question well into the fourth quarter, and Alabama rotated players, demonstrating a significant commitment to player rotation. So that's an interesting thing to observe there. Let's talk about, let's break down the positions like we do. Let's start with a defensive line up front. And wow, Tim Keenan. Tim Keenan had a day. 9 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and 2.5 tackles for loss. One of the sacks was a four-yard loss that forced one of the field goal attempts. So we talked about those field goal attempts could have contributed to touchdowns instead of field goals. Well, one of those very specifically was rejected by one Tim Keenan with a four-yard sack of the quarterback who was attempting to run the ball. So that was certainly impressive. Again, Tim Keenan having a career day. Q Robinson, 7 tackles. And 1 sack, that's 2 on the season. And Quandarius Robinson, we want to just give a little extra sort of tip of the cap. Q lost his father the week leading up to the game and stayed with the team, played the game. And of course, what an emotional loss. What emotional a day it would have been for him. And so he had 7 tackles, 1 sack. He played very, very well. And amidst the personal tragedy that he was experiencing, he acquitted himself very well for the Tide. There was a sort of a special moment with DeBoer and Robinson after the game. DeBoer kind of giving him a hug and just, you know, hey, we appreciate your effort and we're with you. We care for you, young man. And certainly we feel that way as well. Tim Smith had 5 tackles, so the Tims are showing out. We said in the preseason, if the defensive front is going to be as good as advertised, the Tims need to put their stamp on it. And so far this season, they are. Tim Smith had 5 tackles and half a tackle for loss. John Moran, LT Overton, Quay Rousseau were all very active. That's good to see. They're going to be very productive Again, a lot of rotation, seeing a lot of players in the game. Talking about rotation and depth, continuing to manufacture that depth. We saw Jordan Renaud in the game. I did not personally see him against Western Kentucky, though I'm sure that he was in that game late. But he was in the South Florida game early in the game, first half. And when I think of Jordan Renaud, I think of shitty French cars. But that was the Renault back, you know, an earlier generation. Jordan is not a shitty French car. He is an athletic defensive end type player who's very athletic, very quick for his size. And I project will be a contributor this season and certainly seasons beyond. Jordan Renaud, a player certainly to watch. The defensive front at this stage of the season, I'm just going to say, is playing better than I expected. They're not yet to their potential. They're not playing as well as they're going to play. They're not playing as well as they can play. They're just simply playing better than I expected them to play. And I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing from the Alabama defensive front. Linebackers, it's just like the running back position, right? It's the defensive version, right? We know what this unit is, and damn, it's good. We really, really like it. It's productive. Jahad Campbell had 11 tackles, 8 were solo. He had half a sack and a tackle for loss, or 1.5 tackles for loss. Justin Jefferson was in on 10 tackles, 8 of those were solo. He had 1 sack and 1 TFL. He was flagged with targeting relatively late in the game, and so I imagine that will be appealed. There's an appeal process, and I think all probably are appealed just as a matter of course. But if his appeal is not overturned, then if it is upheld, then he will be out the first half of Wisconsin. And Justin Jefferson is just playing phenomenal ball right now. Deontay Lawson, Alabama's defense is better when Deontay's in the game, almost regardless of his stat count. He was in on 5 tackles, 3 were solo, and he continues to play well. He missed some time last year with injury, and so we're hoping that does not repeat itself this year. But I think Alabama's better equipped from a depth perspective if it were to happen. But last year was a good indicator. The defense played better when he was in there, and so we like Lawson being in there. We just like the idea that we have 3 solid starter-quality performers at a two-position, at a two-player position, at a two-position position, two middle linebackers. Jahad Campbell and Justin Jefferson just play with their hair on fire, and Deontay Lawson, I think, plays a little more cerebrally, if I can say the word, but is a high-quality middle linebacker, and he's very important in getting the sets lined up. This position is playing as advertised, and it has not peaked. It will continue to get better and better. Let's talk about the defensive backfield. I think the DBs played with fire but did not get burned. There's a lot of opportunity for improvement in the secondary. We talked about the quarterback missing passes, and again, that he certainly did, which on the stat sheet, it makes the defense, the secondary look better. But there were some free runners that if the quarterback had just a little bit of accuracy, could have added some points. And the way that the game played out, Alabama scored so many points just right at the end of the game. If South Florida had 14 more points earlier in the game, they may well have won the game. So the defensive backfield, the DBs really sort of need to get their act together. Let's talk about some of the defensive DBs. Let's talk about some of the secondary defenders.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People. AFSCMEpeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
And we're just going to roll out, introduce a new section, a new segment. Some of you will remember the Mosley Report. I am immediately enacting sort of a new version of the Mosley Report that came up in a sort of a virtual tailgate call that a group of us had Thursday night. Someone suggested it immediately. I put my hooks in it. And so we are rolling out today the Thank God for Malachi Moore report. I have mentioned multiple times that we should all just thank God that Malachi Moore came back to play in the Alabama secondary. And so I've said that enough times that someone said that should be the new Mosley report. And so here we have it, the Thank God for Malachi Moore report. Malachi was in on 7 tackles and had 2 pass breakups. He is a leader in the secondary. I just feel like I'm going to say that every week. And we know that it's true. If he's not one of your favorite players, you're doing it wrong. He should be one of your favorite players. Malachi Moore, or Kai, as they call him, is a phenomenal player. Again, 7 tackles, 2 pass breakups, a solid contribution in the tight secondary. Keon Saab, I think, had a solid day, 3 tackles. He had a pass breakup. This kid is going to make us, by the end of the season, he's going to make us forget Caleb Downs. And certainly Michigan would have loved to have had Saab on Saturday for their day. I think Keon was pretty pleased. Nett's pretty pleased with where he landed. Red Morgan at the Husky position. He was a target a couple of times. I think he's going to continue to get better. He plays with an intensity. He's a very fast player. I just think maybe in coverage, he stands to improve. And I do believe that he will. I do believe that he was targeted a couple of times by the quarterback. And unfortunately, quarterback was struggling. Xavier Brown started at one of the corner spots, or at the corner spot opposite Damani Brown. And Xavier Brown was targeted twice. In fact, on back-to-back plays, they brought a receiver in and he ran a go route and he was open. And the ball was off the mark and come back, line up scrimmage. I think it's a different receiver. And they ran another go route immediately, back-to-back plays. It's almost like we're going to take a shot and we're going to take a shot again, hopefully with the opportunity of beating the freshman. And the quarterback just really didn't hit the pass. I think he had steps on Xavier both times. That's a learning opportunity. That's stuff on film that Xavier's going to learn from. But the back-to-back plays, it sort of wins. It sort of draws the wind of the cornerback to have to go back and line up and do that again. And I give kudos to the coaching staff. They recognize that on the third down play, there was a different cornerback in there. I want to say it was Deshaun Jones. And I respect that that the coaching staff saw that, noticed it, and then moved a guy over. Hey, we got to give him a blow because if they run that again and they connect, you know, it's going to be a touchdown. So we need someone that can provide tighter coverage and someone that is fresh and can run with a receiver down the field. The quarterback didn't go that way on the third down, but I think he looked that way. And so that was interesting. You know, it's going to be a touchdown. So we need someone that can provide tighter coverage and someone that is fresh and can run with a receiver down the field. The quarterback didn't go that way on the third down, but I think he looked that way. And so that was interesting. Speaking of Deshaun Jones, I'm going to award him my mini game ball on defense. Not only the play there that we talked about, but he had a late game tackle for loss, or a pass to a receiver behind the line of scrimmage, which really speaks to the passing game. They had no downfield passing game to speak of. So receiver behind the line of scrimmage, Deshaun Jones tackled him for the TFL, and it was another big play in the game on Saturday. So mini game ball to Deshaun Jones. We talk about, there's an expression I like using. I don't know where I came up with it. I'll take credit for it. Plays that are lost to history. And so there's a couple of plays that we're just talking about here. They're sort of lost to history. You don't remember them, but they contribute, they stack to the outcome of a game. And so kudos in that regard. Let's talk about special teams. Graham Nelson, six PATs, and I imagine he's convinced that we don't kick field goals. He has no field goals on the season, and he's a transfer. And so he comes in and he says, gosh, this Alabama team does not kick field goals. How is it that Will Reichert is the number one scorer if the team never kicked field goals? And of course, you know, tongue in cheek, of course we kick field goals. We just haven't had the opportunity or the need to through the first 2 weeks of the season. I imagine Graham will get a workout kicking field goals here before we get too much further into the season. James Burnup punting the ball, not his best day, but not categorically a bad day, just certainly not his best. He contributed seven punts, had an average of 42.9, right at the 43 mark, not an outstanding number, and his long was 50. So he had some his cluster of kicks was maybe just that, and I suspect that we know that Burnup is a better player than that. And so I really would have sort of harped on him a couple of years ago. I know he's a much better punter than that, and I know he's going to come out as early as this next week and demonstrate that for everyone. On punt returns, Cole Adams, and gave him some praise last week, and he goes out and gets injured at the wide receiver position, not at a punt returner position. I guess that's interesting, as much as we've talked about not having a star player at punt returner, because you don't want to jeopardize. And this guy's really the starter at the punt returner. And he gets injured going out being the fifth wide receiver. So I guess touche. He did not have any return yards. I think he filled the two punts, and but no return yards. When he went out, true freshman Jalen Mbakwe came in, and he only fielded one, but he had one for 28 yards, and he looked pretty electric back there. So between Cole Adams, a youngster, Richard, freshman, maybe sophomore, and Mbakwe, a true freshman, a couple of youngsters back there look poised to contribute for Alabama at the punt return position. So so that's exciting, and we'll see how that plays out, especially if we're going to force a team to punt seven times over the course of a game, seven or eight, nine times over the course of a game. Having someone back there that can gain some yards, I think is phenomenal. Alabama did only gain the 28 yards, and so there's opportunity for many, many more yards. But we'll see how that plays out over the course of the season. I'm very pleased with the youngsters that we're seeing in there. Now, kick return. Kendrick Law is credited with a 52-yard punt return. All right. Credited with a, well, gold star. After advancing the ball 52 yards, he promptly fumbled it. And I don't think it's a new rule, but there is sort of a provision in football that to score, you need to possess the ball. And so when you have a nice 52-yard return, but then you give the ball to the opponent, you can't do anything with that. You can't redeem that for points. You're not halfway on the way to a touchdown. You've given them the ball. In a game that's close and tight and you're coming out of half, fired up, ready to run some plays and get on the board and create some margin in the game, to fumble. And that's why Alabama, for me, it's a risk, but that's why Alabama said return this one. Maybe we see something on film, and let's jumpstart something here through a special teams play. And if he had gone down at 52 yards and then Alabama had possession of the ball, then yeah, probably you can't. It's hard to project a touchdown, but there's a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement, and so maybe that goes to a touchdown, and the whole tenor of the game changes. And that would have been on the back of an aggressive kickoff return. All right, I'll play ball with you there. It didn't happen. And one of the bad things that can happen on a kickoff return certainly did happen. You get the 52-yard return. You give the ball to the opponent. You give the ball to the opponent at really good midfield field position. And for several of the next possessions, Alabama is losing a field possession game. Fortunately, Alabama keeps them out of the end zone immediately, and I think on a subsequent drive. But there was a time, there was a stretch where Alabama is losing the field position game as a result of this fumble. I'll say it. I've said it. It was in the chat. They'll give you the ball for free on the 25. You don't have to do anything. You have to put your hand in the air. And that's it. Put your hand in the air like you just don't care. And they give you a 25% discount on the length of the field. But wait, there's more. You get to possess the ball. And so you can have a fancy 52-yard return and not possess the ball, put your hand in the air, and get it on the 25 and get it on the 25, get to possess it. All right, enough on that. Next up, Alabama travels to Madison, Wisconsin to face the Badgers. I'm just going to tell you, if you've never been to Madison and you're making this trip, you're going to really enjoy it. Madison is a beautiful town, and the town square it is phenomenal. It's beautiful. There's a great restaurant, sort of bar slash restaurant, called the Old Fashioned. It's just an old saloon almost kind of place. It's really, but like old school, like classy. It's really cool. And then, of course, you got to have an Old Fashioned at Old Fashions. Now they make, my understanding is Wisconsin Miss, Old Fashioned is made with brandy instead of whiskey or rye. And so that might be interesting. I've never had one of those, but that might be interesting. If you have a chance to sample that, hey, report back. We got to know. And if you have a chance, Stalls, it's like a butcher shop, but they sell sandwiches. Stalls, they have the fantastic brats there. So you can check that out. It's an iconic trip, you know, going to Madison, Madison, Wisconsin, Alabama in Madison. It's kind of an iconic trip. I really wish I was going. It's going to be a hell of a good time for everyone who is able to go and cheer on for the Tide and report back. Holy cow. Send pictures, report back. We want to know. So that's exciting. Alabama is favored by what I saw, maybe 16, 17 points. That's a healthy margin, so we'll have to see how it plays out. This Madison or this Badger team, I think, is not necessarily dynamic. Now, we're going to have an interview with someone who's going to fill in some knowledge gaps for us. When I look at their average performance, their leaders at receiver, their leaders at running back, their leaders at at quarterback, and then their scores for the first two games, lower level of quality of opponent, just like we did. I think they scored 26 points in one game and 27 in the other, or maybe it's 28 and 27. There's 1 point off, and there was 1 or 2 points off on defense, like 14 and like 13 or 16 and 15 or something like that. The scores were nearly identical across the two games. This is sort of the point that I'm making. And then you look at the yardage and the receptions and the carries and the rushing yards and the passing yards from the quarterback. There's nothing that speaks. There's nothing that says dynamic, explosive. So we'll see. We'll have our interview on Wednesday, on Tuesday, and try to get that posted out. And so we'll learn more about the team from the expert. But just looking at just a high level, there was nothing that said dynamic offense from the Badgers. It's also early in the season. That said, though, this will clearly be Alabama's toughest opponent, and it's a legit test for this Tide team. On the road, Big Ten opponent, the Badgers are known for just big mauling offensive lines, and there's a good – Luke Fickell is a good college coach. And so this is truly going to be a legitimate test for the Alabama squad. This team cannot get caught looking ahead. And if you're an Alabama player, there's a lot of good stuff to look ahead to. The week after Madison is a bye, and the week after that is Georgia. So there's some shiny objects after the Badger game. But the team needs to sort of be where their feet are, and they need to play their best game of the season against the Badgers. And I suspect that they will. It should be really good. Look forward to the interview. I had said that I had interviews lined up for all of our opponents this season, and that's true until South Florida flaked on me. So I was especially happy that we ran up 21 points in the last 2 minutes of the game, 2.5 minutes of the game. And I'm excited about meeting someone new in an interview context and learning something about the Wisconsin Badgers here. So that should be a lot of fun. Well, hey, I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, if you did, please leave us a review, write us a comment, send us an email, say Roll Tide. We love it, and we look forward and enjoy that level of engagement. In the meantime, Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course. Roll Tide.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.